Hi everyone, OK Fox here with a quick intro. This episode is a guided tour of Andy Warhol from A to B and back again in New York City. We start the tour in the Chelsea Market before heading up to the fifth floor of the Whitney Museum. You can follow along with our special time-stamped map available in the show notes. Doodle bitches who support us on Drip at d.rip/artandlabor can DM us for a press pass. Otherwise, we encourage everyone to forge their own or borrow a friend's. Anyway, here's Chelsea. Hello and welcome to a special episode of Art and Labor.
They're getting more and more special as time goes on.
This one's extra special because you get to get an immersive tour of New York's Chelsea District.
Yeah, so just like close your eyes wherever you are. You know, if you're commuting, it's fine. Just close your eyes. You'll be transported to Chelsea along with us, your tour guides.
We're here for you. And we want you to have a beautiful experience in the heart of the art world of New York City.
Yeah, this is a cultural capital, but it's like the capital of the capital.
It's like, you know,
like if a crown jewel had a twin that it had absorbed, but then the twin came out of its neck. And it was like, I'm even more of a king than you, bitch.
Do you like really fancy hotels? So that you can... So that you can have a nice, beautiful place to abuse children in.
Oh, God.
And Chelsea might be the area for you.
Oh, God. It's so horrible.
I know, but, you know, the Food Network's here.
Okay, we're inside of Chelsea Market right now. It's got a lot of stores. That's the first thing I noticed.
What's up, YouTube? We got an anthropology. Across the street from the... Chelsea News, which is like very New York. It feels like everything in here is a museum for markets.
Yeah, it smells like a Yankee Candle.
It feels like meat, raw meat, and a Yankee Candle.
Yeah.
At the same time.
Yeah, it's not good.
There's some framed art on the walls.
Oh, shiny. Oh, is that a Banksy?
Yes.
Oh, look at this credenza. That's what that is, right?
Lucia was in... We were in here earlier. We got a bagel earlier. And Lucia had a really funny interaction with the flower store.
Oh, God, yeah. I went to the flower store, and I was like, oh, you have black calla lilies. These are my favorite flower. And someone was, like, bagging them up as I was approaching and exclaiming my appreciation of the flowers. And this blonde woman who was, like, tippy-tapping on her iPhone just turned to me immediately and was like, yeah, I'm buying them all right? It's like, back off. Like, they're already sold. And I was like, I'm just looking at them. I just appreciate them. And the sales were really embarrassed. They were like trying to tell me to come back next week. Making friends over here.
Like, just calm down. They're my lilies. It's like...
Yeah, it's like, whoa. And also, if I was in that situation, I think I would have given someone at least one, you know? I've been like, oh, you love these? I love these too. Here, have a flower.
Seriously, that's what any giving person, any non-extremely greedy, like, scarcity-poisoned capitalist.
Yeah, I mean, she did have really, really nice nails.
And a great phone.
Great phone. Here we are.
And that shit's expensive. I mean, it's like... 5 times as expensive to buy that shit here in the Museum of Markets than anywhere, literally any other flower store, yeah. Including like the Flower District of New York, which
right.
is pretty fucking close to here, like maybe yeah. 6 blocks.
But it's, you know, they have odd hours. Who can say when they're open or what they're doing?
This is all a area for convenience. It's an area for people to conveniently experience many. It's like it's neoliberal multiculturalism in its purest expression.
I can buy a beef. I can buy a drug rug. I can buy a handcrafted earring made out of an old spoon. I can buy.
Get Japanese food. I could get all varieties of Italian sandwich. I could get North African food.
I can get a pile of spice.
There's a spice store. There's a meat market. There's a vegetable market.
There's a pearl market.
The Chelsea gentrified Pearl out of its longtime home, and so they brought it into this Museum of Markets to commemorate
it. Museum of Markets.
Right now we're waiting in line to go.
Oh yeah, we're at our next stop. We're gonna explain to you this art. So there's a long line. There's a group of people. They're all trying to take photographs of their friends who are tucked into an alcove that is, it's got like this facade of plastic, injection mold brick. And there's like stickers and graffiti slapped on it.
Extremely clean looking. It looks like a fucking, it looks like if you've ever like, look closely at like a movie set of graffiti.
Oh yeah, it's like very neat. It has nothing to do with anything. It's just sort of impressionistic.
And the artist has his Instagram prominently displayed. And guess what? He's from Brisbane.
Oh yes. He's doing his rendition
of
New York.
Wow.
Thank you. Everybody's got to get a photo though. It's like we can't even get close to it. So
it's like, I could point these European tourists to a number of alleyways where they can get the authentic effect that they're looking for.
But none of those alleyways have curtains at the entrance.
Right. Very exclusive club.
Yeah.
With all these people trying to get in. I want to get in too.
I know, I'm jealous.
God, moving on.
Okay, bye.
Yeah, we figured, yeah, I mean, the episode title of this is going to be a guided tour through the Warhol show at the Whitney or whatever. But this is where it really starts.
Yeah, we just wanted to get the right lead in. Ooh, careful, there's a lot of babies around.
Yeah. I mean, it's like, it's kind of nuts because there's just like, there's no...
It's almost like life is art and art is life, and it's like what came first and like how can you differentiate?
I saw someone taking a photo of all the store names.
Oh my god, how like you're never gonna see this.
Oh, it's the waterfall
configuration.
Y'all can hear the permanent art piece.
The wishing well.
It's like a fucking well or whatever with cool LED lights.
Yeah, you can drop your money in there.
Just throw it away. It's fine. Yeah, I mean, the thing is, what's ironic about this place is that if you work in this area, this is like some of the only places you can actually go to get lunch anymore, because everything else in this area is like a very fancy sit-down place.
Except for Bottino's sandwiches. Bottino's.
That's where everyone goes. That's,
love it.
That's the secret of Chelsea is Bottino.
Yeah, blowing up the spot.
I mean, it's not everybody, literally everybody, but.
Yeah.
Yep, here's some more fucking,
I don't even know what this is.
I can't. Here's the pearl we were talking about before.
Oh, yeah. Pearl.
Oh. Yeah, because that's what, everyone just likes the idea of Pearl, not, like, the original, like, place that had been there for, like, 100 years or whatever.
Yeah.
They just like the idea of it.
Yeah,
existing.
No, it's so cool because, oh my gosh, I can get, like, a really cheap kimono there.
Yeah, I could get any variety of pocky that I could fucking...
ever dream.
But it's, like, not. It's just, like, the most basic ones. It's hardly even an import store at this point. It's just like,
yeah.
It's like the stuff that is officially,
it's
like
a
brought to you.
Chinoiserie.
Yeah. Oh, and this used to be the grocery store, but the grocery store is gone. I think.
Yeah, no more grocery store. That's what I thought we were gonna be able to get lunch at. I was like, oh, this will be cool. We can get like some fruit, some vegetables, have a little powwow.
Yeah.
Nope. Do you remember there used to be, like, a knife sharpening center, too? There was, like, a lady who would stand out in this little alcove and just sharpen everybody's knives.
Oh, God.
They must have
realized.
There's
a fancy sit-down place inside of it, inside of here, too.
Wow, that's, like, a really beautiful bar.
And then, of course, we have Artisan Fleas, which is, like, the biggest grift of the fucking... I hate Artisan Fleas. It pisses me off so much.
Yeah, same.
Fucking, they're trying to capitalize. They made a brand around a, like, community tabling event, flea market. That's something that everyone can get behind.
Into destabilized real estate.
Yeah.
And then they say, like, oh, we're offering people this really beneficial collective experience where you don't have to pay for the whole space that you're, like, tabling at if we do it together. And it's like, well, and this is all a mark of the way that rent has destroyed our community.
It's atomized rent. And also the dude who's involved in artists... Fleas and also Schwick Market is a fucking Republican conservative shithead.
Oh, sure.
Like, millionaire.
Of course.
Like, fuck.
Who else would stand to manage so many, like, yearning souls who just want to express themselves through the art of screen printing?
Yeah, shit fucking sucks. Also, P.S. Google bought this whole building.
Yeah. All right,
moving on.
Oh. Yeah, Google's right across the street. From here, like one of their headquarters. They're
just
also across the street
LED
from SBA.
Of news? What the fuck?
Oh yeah, SpongeBob creator.
That's sad. He's young.
Yeah.
Now we're at the end.
The end. But yeah, Google's also across this. So across the street from Chelsea Market, where we are, and then catty corner to SBA. The head of SVA was working to start making some programs with Google to teach the kids really nice stuff and
Jesus.
Do like yeah.
Jesus.
Yeah. Dude, no separation between.
No separation. All right, we're back on the street again. Okay. Hi, everyone. Sorry, we're back.
Hey, we just walked over here. We passed a lot of great landmarks. My favorite, the Liberty Hotel. How about you, your favorite?
The people who work at the Liberty Hotel are the real troops, let me tell you.
Yeah, it's true. Hey, listen, I had a job once at the Liberty Hotel.
Bless you, dude.
Thanks. Yeah. No, it's cool. Inside they have beds that are shaped like lips, and they have mirrors on the ceilings. It's great.
You're getting the real Chelsea tour right here.
Yeah, everybody's really friendly at the Liberty Hotel.
Yeah, that's basically all you guys missed. We went outside. It was way too windy to record. We wanted to record from the High Line to get you that real manicured Chelsea experience.
The High Line has a lot of dead plants on it.
Great.
Yeah, it's worth the money.
And you can see all of the big glass developments, more fancy hotels.
I love the brutalist architecture, like the cement squares, all of the rectangles also that are like hard and they just don't kind of give you anything to look at. I love that about the area and the history involved. It's really smart.
Yeah, I told a story about how I was an artist assistant when I was like 21 or something like that, and I was brought to the top of the Standard Hotel for a concert or something, and there are two like clubs on the top of the Standard Hotel. One's called the Boom Boom Room.
Boom Boom Room.
And it's more of a like cishet gay scene with a jacuzzi.
Designed by Stephen Alesh, if I'm not mistaken. And their firm also did the Facebook headquarters.
Great. Great shit.
The more you know.
Wonderful shit. And the other side of the Standard is this other bar that I didn't drink at the time. And I bought a ginger ale, and it was $14.
Hell yeah. Like, you're paying for the mind of a man who just, like, draws different kinds of chairs.
And I felt like I was in a documentary about Kanye West's life. And I went to use the bathroom, and the bathroom was just A single stall toilet with a huge window that overlooked the High Line.
Yeah, I really like it when people can see me use the bathroom because it makes me feel powerful.
I'm just, look at all those.
They can't do anything about it.
On.
Yeah.
Pissing on all those fucking ants.
I'm a sky person, not a ground ant.
All right, so here we
are.
Oh,
yeah, we're in the exhibit
now. We're in the exhibit. From A to B and back again.
The title of Andy Warhol's philosophy book that was ghostwritten by two people that are not Andy Warhol.
Great.
Yeah.
Great, 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 great. We were saying, you know, before we start, like we really don't like Andy Warhol, but
yeah, like, we're here to talk to you about why, and we're here to dissect his early work in particular, because everyone thinks before he was shot, he was like a man for the proles.
Yeah, he's a class traitor, the bad kind, like we've said before, but also, you know, saying when we were kids, we liked him too. Like, this isn't like...
I liked his blasé attitude.
which definitely shows. I liked his use of bright colors.
Yeah.
Like, extremely neon shit.
I liked using him in art history classes. Like, if I had to give a presentation, I would just tell people about a picture of Mao and feel like I was really punk or something. Like, have you heard of the Little Red Book? Like, I'm really crazy. Give me an F.
Fuck you.
Yeah.
I'm a disruptor, too. Sludge. Whatever.
Yeah, like, yeah. The trick is like not to associate yourself with someone like Warhol, because he was actually like a really manipulative and jealous person that wanted to like destroy the idea that like personal creation had merit.
Yeah, it's not a critique of consumerism, it's a full embrace of it.
Yeah. I mean, he really, like, one of his most famous quotes is just saying, like, oh, everybody can have the same Coca-Cola. It doesn't matter if you're rich or you're poor. And that's the beautiful thing about American culture. But really, he's leaving out, like, any class consciousness of the fact that, no, if you're rich, you can have a Coca-Cola with gold flakes in it. Motherfucker. You're not saying anything true. You're just making a fantasy for people to buy into to keep this whole, like, mass production scheme going.
Bitch. Okay. We're looking at like a window of like his stuff.
Oh,
now.
Some ephemera. There's crying. Is that a crying clown?
Yeah, I guess we can read the wall text.
I just want to judge it. No, there's a book of Duchamp.
Yeah. Records and writings.
Yeah. Oh, the thing about Andy Warhol that I do know is that he was an incredible hoarder, and he put boxes and boxes and boxes together of time capsules. So this is one of his time capsules. Just from viewing it right now, I can tell.
Oh, you're right.
He had a storage facility that he would just. I think, was it in Pennsylvania? I remember he grew up in Pennsylvania, right? And then he just kept storing packing boxes full of just shit that he couldn't let go of for the future, because he knew that it would end up in a museum someday.
Yeah, so for those following along our guided tour, we're on the fifth floor. Just wanted to be clear.
Oh, yeah, we're on the fifth floor. We just got off the elevator, and we're looking at a bunch of pieces of paper in a glass box. It's something.
I guess we should go to the main wall text first. It's probably the direction they want us to go.
Oh, yeah.
The first thing you see when you walk in is this camo print.
Yeah, it's a big camo.
Cool. All right. I want to look more at the ephemera.
Oh, hey. Look at Ray Johnson.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's cool. There's a piece of paper with the Ray Johnson bunnies all over it. It makes me happy. He was an anti-capitalist. To his detriment.
Oh, fuck. Dear Andy, when we met last at Duchamp opening, you said you would like to interview me for interview, and I probably said, oh, you don't want to remember, and you asked me what I was wearing, and I said... the same old rags.
Oh, yeah. Ray rules.
I would like to do an article
a kind of diary of memories of my trip to Illinois, which was sponsored by an Illinois State Council of Arts grant for interview, and use the Orlandello photos with my text, which I would like to be truly crazy as the events were. My talks seem to have made people feel either truly interested or disgusted.
Hell yeah. Yeah, Ray Johnson was famous for having these weird correspondences with a lot of, like, art world elites and power players, and he would always, like, have this process of, like, shooting himself in the foot anytime someone wanted to buy his work. So he was, like, sort of writing to people who were, like, collecting for the MoMA, and they would be like, yeah, we want to purchase this this, you know, whatever piece you made, and he would be like, that'll be 7 cents, please. I mean, $1 million. What is money? What is value? I'm sorry, can't handle this.
Yeah, the thing, the letter's literally, it's stamped Buddha University, and it's from 74, it looks like.
Oh, yeah.
And
I don't know at what point he, like, went off the rails, because wasn't he, like, he was, like, attacked. He went to, like, move out to Long Island because New York got crazy somehow. Or maybe he, something happened to him out there.
A lot of people fucking moved to Long Island around that time, yeah, to work on art.
Okay, cool out. Anyway, maybe we should keep moving.
Yeah, like we'll get stuck here. There's, like, a lot of stuff in here. A lot of fucking Dolly and Duchamp bullshit. And
yeah,
like,
oh, and the Beatles. Have you ever heard of them?
And
this is going to be important.
And fucking, I don't know, just a bunch of
garbage. Nobody
garbage.
Knows about Cy Twombly.
William S. Burroughs, what up? I don't know. Fuck.
Cool.
Yeah, it says, and Lucia was right, it was a time capsule from 73 to 74. Yeah, all right.
Moving right along.
Camouflage, 1986.
Oh, you know.
Acrylic silkscreen ink on canvas.
It really does look like 80s colors. Amazing.
It's Army.
Yeah, like, he really had this way of encapsulating nothing but using charged imagery to say that stuff exists, like the Army.
And cows.
Oh, yeah.
And soup cans.
Yeah, all this stuff really exists.
Everybody has their own America, and then they have the pieces of a fantasy America that they think is out there, but they can't see. And you live in your dream America that you've custom made from art and schmaltz and emotions just as much as you live in your real one.
Wow, I didn't actually realize that there were dreams.
Are we affected by images?
Excuse me? Wait, this is the first time anyone's ever told me this. Oh, this guy should be famous.
Should we read this text to everyone?
Or no, fuck? No.
Pittsburgh, son of a Byzantine Catholic, Czechoslovakian, or Czechoslovak immigrants. Found success as a commercial illustrator. Uniquely attuned to the messages of advertising and highly cognizant of social codes.
Best known for his ability to identify the icons of contemporary life.
Hey, did you know Marilyn Monroe?
Yeah. Wait a minute. What? Who is that? Tell me more. Okay.
Let's look at these.
Yeah, now we're walking left of the elevator into
the interview magazine zone.
Yeah, a row of interview magazines.
Oh, and films. People love his films.
Oh, yeah. Let's see, we've got...
Oh, we got our favorite Jack Smith.
Yeah!
Edie Sedgwick.
Mm-hmm. It's a bunch of superstars lined up in a ongoing reel from 1963 to 1968. All of the stars appear.
It's hard to like, people need to understand this is the mid 60s. It was so rare for people to even have a camera.
like and like yeah. make videos. So people obviously flock to him.
That's why this was allowed to be boring too.
And like, so it's like, yeah, it's neat that he got all these people on camera, but it's like, it's any it's because he's of his position to money that he was able to get.
Yeah, and it was also like, it was like, oh, let's make sure that we just kind of, well, actually, I don't know. I like some of these,
no,
like,
I mean, I
like
them.
The superstars because they're just offering yeah. their own content, and I don't right. have an issue with these people, like, as their own artists, but, like,
No, not at all. That's not what I'm saying.
But, no, like, a Warhol yeah. film like the Empire State Building, though, is so absurd because people will be like, oh, no, it's, like, it's amazing how boring it is, and I watch, and then a bird flies by, and I think, like, wow, the temporality, and, like, oh, my gosh, I can't believe I'm putting myself through this for someone who will never care about me. Like, that's the art.
Yeah, I don't know if that we'll probably get to that one later. It's not in this section, but yeah.
Yeah,
it's like the same. It's the same shit. Like, yeah, it's all.
It's all the same. I mean, you know, like, as you know, I watched Jack Smith on his own without Warhol.
Right. I mean, like, here at the very end, it says he increasingly featured homoerotic imagery, foregrounded New York subcultures, including those he. Created himself in The Factory, featuring his superstars and deconstructed tropes of Hollywood cinema, even as his film's narrative structures grew increasingly complex.
Oh.
Oh, did they?
Yeah,
or did Valerie's? Not sure.
There's a bunch of faces on magazines. I think we're accustomed to seeing people. Arnold Schwarzenegger, Aretha Franklin, Stevie Wonder. Amazing. I really like what they did with John Travolta's eyes.
Piercing, blue, beautiful.
Yeah, he's pointing, like, to his temple, like, hey, think about that.
And the Yoko Ono looks hot as hell.
Yeah.
She looks really hot.
Ooh. Yeah, she's kind of, like, cybernetic or something.
Yeah, into that.
Oh, okay. Wow, look at that mouth.
Here we go.
Yo, here come that boy.
Here come that boy. Mal on a unicycle.
Yeah.
There's gonna be some text in here about how memes are just like inextricably linked to Warhol or some shit.
Oh, good, yeah.
We'll
it's like all a lineage. When your art is about nothing, then everything is about you.
I do like seeing the silkscreen rolls. Yeah, I do like seeing that.
The drums,
yeah.
Yeah, they're pretty.
It's. Process is cool. I yeah. like that's like something else I was interested in when I was younger was like just learning the process of how to do things. I think that captivates a lot of people is like, wow, silkscreening is like this whole labor intensive process for like you can a lot at once, but it's still like
yeah, there's still
whole thing.
A whole yeah. yeah. You can appreciate the subtleties of it.
Yeah.
Here's some crazy screen prints. We've got the electric chair. You know, it's a picture of an electric chair twice.
Because isn't things bad sometimes?
Yeah, and then there's like, I like that he put makeup on Mao. I'm sure that it offended at the time. You know, just really stick it to them. To the power.
Did he also put makeup on Reagan?
Put makeup on everybody, because that was, like, the way to just really take down the structures. You know, he just put makeup on it, and then all of a sudden you've really turned over the world order.
Isn't this icon like this other icon?
Oh.
Could you imagine even...
Wow. It's almost like, yeah, these singular images all start to blend together... They just all still mean nothing in comparison to what's going on.
Should we read some of the documents?
Yeah.
Now we're in a document zone, looking at images of him vacuuming.
Oh yeah, he was obsessed with maids. And he would write in his book, like, Philosophy from A to B about, like, the concept of maids and how, like, it made him really uncomfortable to be in the same room, but then he was also obsessed with them, so he would do performances like as a maid in group shows.
Nice guard just told me my shoe was untied.
Oh, lovely. I was afraid that maybe we were going to get in trouble.
No, I think we're fine.
Yeah.
I mean, other people are talking and have things.
Are making media. Who knows?
It's feeling Thanks for it, following me to the floor.
Yeah. This is the sound of shoes tying.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. So Andy Warhol was obsessed with house cleaning. And he also had this thing about believing that like all jobs were the same. And I do agree with his like attempt to level the field of like hierarchy within, you know, working class labor. And just, so I do kind of appreciate that he would like vacuum in public to be like, I'm not better than.
Yeah. Like that's cool.
Yeah.
It's a cool thing to do.
Yeah, like this photo right here, is this somebody? Yeah, this is like part of the actual cleaning crew of the facility that he's in, and then he's like in the foreground.
But it's like, I wonder how long he did the thing, or was it all
photo ops? Oh no, just
ops?
For like, yeah, it was just like as a performance, but still like when you act as a public figure and you have that visibility, it's nice to use it in a way that...
That's true.
Yeah.
I do agree with that.
Has a lasting effect.
Yeah. Responsibility for your platform, something that we talk about on here sometimes. Yeah, there's the McGovern one.
Oh boy,
with all the Mao's, lots of Mao's. Look at how many times he drew Mao.
So many Mao's. Yeah, I wonder if they're gonna have the hammer and sickle next to the skull of fascism, so that we can really take in the full effect.
We had to get a picture.
Have we gotten there? I mean, we're dipping in. We're getting close. Oh, there's the skulls.
Yeah, because I see the skulls.
Oh, let's see if there's any hammer and sickles next to them.
These boring at sunsets.
Oh my god, I don't even know. It's like a big wall of circles. Jesus Christ.
Everybody stopped in front of the Mao. It's a very reflective area of the exhibition.
Yeah, don't disrupt them. They're having an idea.
What's with museums doing this nowadays? Like, oh, just putting like a video up real high.
Really high up. Yeah.
It's like a thing now.
It's good. Good. Yeah, it's an underutilized space.
Just put more shit
up
there.
Yeah.
That's cool.
Yeah, maybe if they could also, like, tie stuff to these drop ceiling beams.
Oh, my God.
Just more.
What are these, like, fake Basquiat looking things over here?
Oh, that's from their collaboration.
Oh, okay. Oh my god, I guess I didn't know that.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, Basquiat and Warhol did these collabo paintings where they also, you know, they didn't just do the photo ops where they were wearing like punched like boxing gloves or whatever and being like, yeah, we're in the ring. It's we're like those, the two most famous people
going at it, like, with the big like marquee thing.
And Basquiat was all like, fuck you white man, and Warhol was like, I'm already dead inside.
And I'm gonna get you addicted to drugs and it'll be your downfall.
Yeah.
P.S.
but you didn't hear that here.
Dude's a fucking murderer, sociopath.
Yeah, you can really tell, like, you know, there, it's just like Basquiat doodling around and then Warhol being like, I think I'm just gonna put this right on top. Just like, I'm not really gonna talk to your drawings. I'm just gonna be like, boom, here's consumerism.
Yeah, I don't see a lot of like layering of collaboration. That's very true.
Yeah, it's really like Basquiat just went in there, made like a few dutes, and then like, yeah, Warhol's just blocking things.
Oh boy.
But here,
that was the opposite. And,
yeah, opposite.
Yeah.
Here's a Paramount screen print, and then Basquiat just like
on top.
Oh, I'm gonna. Ooh. It's cool. Well, you know, when people are that famous, they can't work together.
It's one of the USSR and China.
Oh, wow.
Oh boy.
I like that. I would get something like that for my house. If I had a big wall,
I would get this giant pillar of televisions that are here for some reason.
Yeah. Multiple TVs are always good.
Yeah, I think so.
What do we got here?
I'm just looking behind us. I don't know.
Yeah.
Whatever.
Everyone really appreciates the line work of Warhol's early drawings. They seem to find that there is an odd beauty about them, but I don't really understand because they seem pretty academic to me, and they're always about, like, shoes, skulls, dresses, or dicks, and that's it.
Yeah, or they're just, like, traces of photographs. Like,
yeah.
Which is fine, but it's just, like, okay.
But it's the way that he traces.
But look at how many times he did it. That means it's good.
Yeah. It's in the way that he traces. Oh,
there's the fucking hammer thing.
Ah! Bam, 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 bam.
There she is. Oh, there. Yeah,
yeah,
there she is.
We found it. And it's in the same room. So on one wall of this next gallery, on one side, there's the skulls that were supposed to be, like, the inciting of the fascist tendency, the death cult, and all of the, like, whatever endgame mania they have. And then on the other side is, like, weird because they have the hammer and sickle next to the Red Cross, next to the gun.
Oh my God.
And it's, like, they're kind of mixing a lot of messages here. I don't really know.
Oh, let's get closer. Oh, because then we have some iconography stuff. We have Marcia. It's always nice to see Marcia.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's like I was hinting at before, like, this is a dude who gave queer and trans people money and places that they could be safely, which is really important. But he also exploited them.
Yeah, he put them to work. And it was weird also in his philosophy from A to B, he talks a little bit about pitting these communities against each other, but in a vague sense. So he was like, oh, it seems that the boys are very happy to play girls in my movies. So I'm using them more because girls denied the roles that I offered them. And since I, like, started using boys to play girls, now girls are becoming interested again in being a part of my movies because, like, they're left out.
Oh, man. What a mess. It just seems like such a mess. And then, like, people go on and try to replicate the fucking factory like it's, like, a healthy thing to do. It just seems insane to me.
Yeah. There's other ways to collectivize.
Oh, we also miss the room. I mean, we touched on it a little bit, but we missed the room with all the, like, screen prints of, like, tragedies.
Oh, shit.
We can...
Yeah, we'll go over there, too.
This is just our natural path. We kind of went one direction, but...
We just went straight to the hammer and stuff.
Oh, boy.
Yeah. Let's see. What do we got on these complimentary walls here?
It's all gigantic, which is, like, you know, this is what collectors want. They want things that are fucking gigantic.
I like the black one. I'm gonna say it's doing something for me. It's like, it's so creepy.
We're all affected by images.
Oh, yeah. Hey, listen, you know, I'm a big hater of him and his ideals overall, but...
Oh, well, let's look at the actual photos. They have them on display.
Ooh. Oh, wow. I like it. Yeah, I like those photos.
Yeah.
They're super academic. They have like, one light source. Oh, wait, is that a hammer and sickle and a dildo?
Hammer and sickle with Wonder Bread.
Hammer and sickle with McDonald's is dope.
Yeah, that's pretty dope.
I want that.
You're just throwing shit against the wall.
Literally.
Jesus Christ.
Yeah, big time ideas.
Could you imagine, like, a time that was so, like... So, like,
impressionable?
Yeah, impressionable. So that's what I'm getting at. Like, so blank of ideas, like, so bankrupt of ideas that, like, this passed for a brilliant idea.
Oh, gosh. Well,
It's complicated because it seems like the most popular ideas have to maintain this sense of simplicity so that they can be co-opted, and that's the only way that they can gain mass appeal.
Yeah, I mean, I was talking about how last time I was at the Whitney, the people who sell art outside of the Whitney, like, I can respect that as a business. That's neat. It's all like either a Banksy or a Warhol with like a bunch of shit splattered on top of it.
Yeah.
And just like on like these ready canvases. It's just like, oh.
It's a mess.
It's sad. Sad that this is what like people want.
Well, they don't know. They, you know, they've got 10 minutes to check out what culture is, and then someone like jumps
Everyone's
them on
overworked.
The street.
That's what we were getting at with the Chelsea Market too. It's like everybody is so overworked, and like this, and it's funny that Google bought the Chelsea Market building. Oh, this is what we were talking about before we went outside, but it's funny that Google bought the Chelsea Market building because it's really in their ethos to just like have everything available in their immediate campus, in their immediate area, so people can like go and experience different cultures and go to the art museum.
Well, it's bizarre because like, I mean, Google also has this really extensive cafeteria where people can pick up world cuisine. Like every single day they have every kind of food in there. They don't need to buy a place, except for, I guess, that's maybe why there's like upscale bars moving into Chelsea Market.
Right, and
like,
it's also to you know, on their lunch break, they can entertain their family who's in town to visit them and not have to leave work.
Oh, that is a good idea.
Sort of like
stay sheltered.
Like,
sleep in the nap pod.
Sleep in our nap pods.
Yeah.
All right, well, I really want to get a picture in front of the Hammer and Sickle. Should we ask someone?
Yeah.
All right, we're back.
Yeah.
So we're in the next room. Warhol's experiments with abstraction.
Looks like he just made some more screen prints, but he smudged them.
Or he put the photo screen prints on top of the pattern screen prints.
This guy's wild.
Cool. And he discovered metallic ink.
He made a Rorschach. I'm a real sucker for white paintings. Like when you just have a palette of different colored creams, I'm automatically sucked in to the cloudy void.
Well, it's soothing, right?
It's
the Last Supper, but it's also the military.
Oh, genius. Oh, it's like the Christian army or something, maybe? Or not, I don't know. There's two?
It's like a mirror. There's the middle part. Two tables. Something's going on.
Behind?
Oh, yeah, no, it's just a double print.
Behind the Last Supper, there's an air vent?
I don't know what that's about.
I don't know.
Are they in the museum?
Whoa, this is...
Are they in the museum?
Wild! I think there's a tapestry on the wall. What's going on, y'all?
These bitches are in the museum.
Oh, my God.
Oh, and then there's a gold Rorschach test on the opposite side of the regular black Rorschach test.
Good idea. Let's go to the next floor.
Okay. Yeah, that's probably where we should have broke... We missed a room, but I mean, I think we got the idea. We talked about the...
Should we just look at that room?
Yeah, I feel like we should, because we've talked about that on the podcast before. We're backtracking. Sorry.
Yeah.
Oh, we missed, like, the sex ones, too.
Oh, right.
Here are the sex ones.
Ooh. Wow. You know, it's a shame that Betty Tompkins had, like, such a hard time getting her career off the ground when you can see that, like, Andy Warhol was making these sex prints that are, like, a really shabby, heavy-handed version of something that Betty Tompkins treats excellently and, like, I don't know.
Yeah.
Can't say it enough. Betty Tompkins rules if you want to look at some sexual imagery.
Yeah. That's great. I'm glad we backtracked because we missed some shit.
Oh, interviews are happening on a big row of TVs.
Yeah, where the Velvet Underground were playing before, when we were recording over here before. Mm. We're back in the Sunset Zone, just for folks following our weird, winding bullshit path.
Yeah.
Do a map.
Sure, this is gonna make sense to everybody. When you go here, you're gonna be like, "Wow, these podcasters walked on the same museum floor as us."
Warhol announced his retirement from painting in 1965.
Oh, cool. Cow wallpaper. He made silver clouds, helium-filled Mylar balloons. Oh, yeah, there's a video of the Mylar balloons that are just kind of floating around. Mm. They were up... Yeah, it's really exciting.
Yeah, I'm retiring from painting. I'm just doing acrylic things on canvas now.
Yeah.
Okay, here's the rooms we missed.
Oh, sick.
It's all the disaster prints, which we've talked about on the podcast before.
Yeah, here it is. Warhol was obsessed with images that he found in newspapers, and he would take a lot of time to isolate some gruesome and iconic moments, and he would just screen print them. So that, like, you know, if in case you didn't think about it when you were reading the news, you can think about it again when you're looking at it really big.
And now the elites can buy and sell it, too.
Oh, yeah, absolutely, because they weren't profiting off of it before.
Yeah.
Yeah, so here we are. So in the same room as, like, the car wreck.
Yeah.
Prints, and the there's another image of electric chairs. There's also a bunch of cans of tuna, because... clearly, we should consider these things on the same plane.
He was doing the same thing, I guess, clipping newspaper. It sucks because it reminds me a lot of Baldessari's work, and I loved Baldessari when I was in college.
Yeah. He was so playful.
I enjoy. It's like I'm not joyless. Like I think it's cool to play with images.
Yeah, and to play with media. I definitely did that thing where you, like, take a newspaper and you make redactions, and then, you know, you, like, collage stuff, and you're like, see, like, I understand the relationship between advertisement and reading an article and, like, how screwed up it is that you see an ad for, like, toothpaste next to, like, a disaster, and, like, oh, wow, like, I get the world, man. It's true. We do have a media landscape that's, like, bombarding us with...
overly bombarding us with images is desensitizing, and that's a real issue, is that sort of, you know, overexposure. But, like, if you think that this type of work helps with that, it just does the opposite.
Yeah. It's... well... yeah, I guess there isn't really a way to end the madness, so you could at least agree that it exists.
Yeah, well, that's where liberals stop, right? They acknowledge that it exists, but then they feel they're like, oh, I'm powerless to do anything about it.
Yeah.
I'm done.
Oh, here we go. Check it out. This is the mustard race riot. Which is very confusing, like, why, like, okay, Hank Willis Thomas is giving a speech, I guess, on, like, what this image means, and it's weird because, you know, recently we've been talking about, like, you know, the Dana Schutz controversy, or, like, I forget who made the painting of the KKK rally that was, like, in a museum in Texas. Or, like, there's all of these, like, racially charged images that are going up in museums, and people are having these hot debates about it. But here was a time where, like, it was just totally fine to be like, well, it's in the news, and I'm just going to talk about it because I'm allowed to. And people are I don't know, now coming to see it in a different lens? Or has he, like, escaped the criticism? I'm not sure.
I don't know. It says right here on the wall text, recontextualized, cropped, blurred, and repeated within Warhol's painting, these images not only portray a specific traumatic moment, but also have come to represent America's long and continuing history of racial injustice and its catastrophic effects on black lives. I mean...
Oh, good. I mean, he speaks for the people.
Does it still represent that when it's sold for millions of dollars at an auction? I don't think so.
Well, that's separate. You gotta just think about that.
I will not. More. Skull. Ethel Skull. Art collector.
So he made portraits of his collectors. That's good.
Well, that's classic.
There's the pictures everybody uses as Avies.
You have Warhol to thank for Instagram filters and Snapchat filters and all manner of filters. You remember the classic, like, MacBook...
yes.
What's it called? iMovie or iPhoto?
Yeah, they had a Warhol filter.
Yeah. That's one of the first ones.
It's so wild. Nice. I am so uninspired by what we're looking at right now.
Moving on. Here's photos of them on the Guggenheim.
Oh, yeah. A photo of some photos hanging on the side of a building.
Or is it not? It's not the Guggenheim? I don't know what it is.
No, it looks like a stadium.
Huh. It does look like a stadium, yeah.
Yeah, it is definitely a circular building that some photographs of Warhol's have been tacked to. I don't know about this project.
Look, it's public art that makes it accessible, I guess.
Oh, man, that guy is a robber.
Yeah, well, we missed all the, like, yeah, these are all the fucking criminal ones or whatever.
Yeah, cool headshots.
Yeah. Criminals, a lot like headshots. Can you, did you ever think about that?
Yeah, it's almost like criminals and art collectors are all the same.
That's what I took away from that room, too.
Yeah.
Here's Marilyn.
Oh, my God, Marilyn and Elvis. Oh, my God, is
and
that
the Mona Lisa?
Liz Taylor.
Wow.
Wow. Oh, my gosh. Marlon Brando.
Wow.
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 No.
Famous people.
Oh, no.
Now everyone in the museum could see famous people, very large. And it's almost like they're meeting the famous person in real life because they are the same size as their heads.
Dean Martin? Oh, my God. Wait. Who is that? Oh, wait. Oh, my God. I'm so overwhelmed.
It's like a coin, but it's Marilyn instead of a president. Could you imagine?
Oh, I can never.
Fucking nose job one. Everyone always fucking...
Famous nose job. Print of a lady who has an incel nose and then gets a Chad nose.
Great. Legacy continues. Oh, my God. Sorry. Marilyn.
Marilyn, again.
A money bindle. What else is happening?
Oh.
We missed, like, half of the exhibition. We were going to go to the next floor. We missed all this.
We're going to go to the next floor now.
Okay.
Yeah, let's do it.
Yeah, I think I'm ready, too. This is all, like...
Wow, look at that superior line work. I mean, like, freaking incredible. It's like, no, people cannot stop talking enough about his draftsmanship, and I do not understand it. This literally looks like student work.
It really does, especially the relationship to the rest of the page is disgusting.
Yeah, it's like, it's not, like, way to crop nothing and just, like, fill the space with, like, there's no motion. It's just like a vertical thing in each one of these.
Yeah, we're talking about the money bindle, by the way.
Oh, yeah. And then there's also a Coca-Cola can with a Campbell's soup. A Coca-Cola bottle with a Campbell's soup can on top of it. And then there's a ketchup bottle with a Campbell's soup can on top of it.
And then the relationship to the negative space of the rest of the page is like atrocious on all three.
Yeah, there's just, he just kind of fills it up, and there's no motion. He just kind of has like jaggy scribbles everywhere.
Yeah, there's no like consistent shading. It really is like student work.
Which, I mean, maybe, you know, it is like an illustrative style to try and like simplify the image, and I respect that, but you know, he does have like some directional markings going on, if we're going to talk about it like we're looking at a cave painting.
Oh my god, let's get out of here. Coca-Cola. This is Coca-Cola.
Oh, Coca-Cola. Warhol felt compelled to emulate the style of abstract expressionism, which was still dominant at the time. That's cool.
This is ideology. Oh my god. More disaster art.
Yeah. Oh. I'm scared.
It's all right. There's a lot going on.
Okay, oh, let's hit a rich person.
This is the stuff. Yeah, you did. Yeah. This is the stuff that he stole wholesale from Liechtenstein, I believe.
Yeah, this is when he tried to be a cool comic book artist. There's a Superman puffing on some black smoke, and there's a Dick Tracy.
God, I hate these drawings of the newspapers. That's driving me fucking nuts.
Oh, God. He just copied a newspaper, but he doesn't have any spatial understanding, so it just kind of slides off the page.
Kill me with this. God. All this draftsman, it's all draftsman stuff.
Oh,
now.
Let's keep going and hate it. Let's hate it. Come on.
Oh, he was drawing a collage, see? Can you believe it?
So now we're looking at another little glass box, and there's some cut-up pieces of paper taped back together.
Oh, yeah, to do this to those who won't make it here to New York to go through our guided tour, there's a lot of, like they are using every little crevice in space with the curation here. So, like, every, like, wall has a weird little glass panel in it with, like, shit in it.
Fucking garbage.
Fuck these shoes, man.
Yeah, we're walking up to a wall now. It's a bunch of shoes. They look like your grandma's favorite shoes from her, like, Renaissance LARPing fantasy. And, like, he used a bunch of gold leaf to fill in the shape of the shoe. And then put, like, bedazzlements on it.
He sure did.
Bedazzled. Wow.
And then there's a bunch of, like, of the newspapers that I assume he was published in. When he was a commercial illustrator or whatever.
Is that Stalin?
Oh, my God. I'll take a picture of that. Yeah. Oh, wow.
Oh, no, I thought his mouth was a mustache at first, but no, it's...
I can't tell what's
going
on.
Who is that supposed
there?
To be?
16, what does it say? Communist speaker.
Oh, it's just so there's someone who's, like, who's got their arms up, and they're sort of, they're, like, in the gesture of, like, proclamation, and they're standing in front of the hammer and sickle flags. You know, and they're just talking into a microphone, but that's all you need to know.
I like this cat.
Aww.
What's with that? It's number 6. Is that like a child drawing he did? Oh, yeah, Julia Warhol. Warhol's mother, Julia.
Oh. That's pretty funny. You liked the only drawing that was just by his mom.
I love it. Look at all the little purrs.
Yeah.
And then butterflies in the cat.
Yeah, and the cat has like a tinfoil helmet.
And it's got little fur. She drew. It's just precious.
I love it. Yeah, it's really cute.
Take a photo of it too.
Yeah.
Award for distinctive merit. Over 300 newspaper ads, over 300 lines. Art director design. He got an award for being a good art director.
Yeah, they like to do that.
Yeah.
Like, you made us so much money, here's a piece of paper.
Oh my god.
Oh boy. The Brillo boxes are up next.
Oh yeah, I forgot. Oh, and the soup cans, we didn't talk about that at all.
Who was that guy? Was his name Charles Lutz? Who, he was an artist. I mean, he's still alive. He walks amongst us. I forget if that's his name, though. He made a bunch of Brillo boxes, and then he put them at, like, armory shows, and everyone was like, wow, this is, like, an incredible postmodern gesture, and it's approved by the Andy Warhol Foundation.
Oh, my God.
I think it was Charles Lutz, but I forget.
Yeah, I used to assist Jack Early.
Oh, nice.
Part of Pruitt Early, and Rob Pruitt in particular.
Yeah.
Loves Warhol.
Pruitt. Oh, my God. And cocaine.
Oh, yeah, fuck.
That project's amazing.
Fucking God. He did a chrome statue of Warhol outside the old factory as, like, a...
Wow.
Tribute to my dad. Yeah.
Yeah. I feel the same way about my dad. It's totally understandable.
Oh, my God. Did you ever think about consumerism?
No, what's that?
It's like people buy things.
Oh, wait, like these Campbell's soup cans?
Yeah, and they buy it with money, and money also has images on it.
Oh, shoot. Oh, I guess that's like how you can tell what's money and what's soup.
Right.
It's like by the picture.
By the picture.
Right.
Exactly.
Oh, but there's like, I feel like there's something else to know about this. Like maybe like somebody is trying to communicate through this soup.
Some soups are chicken, but some are cheddar cheese.
I have a lot of choices in America, and I feel better about my government already.
Oh my god.
Yeah.
And that's the end of this floor. Join us for the next floor in a couple minutes. All right, so we were trying to figure out where to wrap up.
Yeah, we just went to... We were on the fifth floor. We went down to the third floor where you can see a video of Andy Warhol himself eating a hamburger.
Ketchup bottle, napkin...
A whole nine. And he won't look at the camera, so it's like he can't look you in the eye while he's doing it.
It's like he's killing something.
It's really... Yeah, he lets us know that it's sort of uncomfortable for him to eat.
While being gazed upon.
Yeah, he only likes candy, though. That's true.
Oh, God.
That's why he had gallbladder issues later in life. And the bullet helped.
Sick. Yeah, there's also a bunch of monitors with, like, the... screening the Empire State Building nonsense, and
oh yeah,
there's all this
some
text about reading all the text about like, oh, this is his politics stuff. Oh, this is his when he exploited queer people stuff. Oh
yeah,
that's basically what the third floor is. It's also this fucking building is so weird. Could you imagine working here, like,
oh,
being
my God.
Looked at all the time?
I can't imagine. Everything is in a glass box, and the whole fourth floor is staff only, but you can look into all of
their
the offices.
Rooms.
Yeah. I mean, like, way to go for transparency. I guess that's sort of like the way they built the Senate building in Berlin or whatever. It's like,
yeah.
No fascism is going on here, guys.
Yeah. It's like bullshit, because then you come down to this first floor, right? And there's this little room, the John R. Eckel Jr. Foundation.
Oh, my God, and there's room. A couple going into this room, and they're wearing matching white Converse. I feel like that's so Warhol.
Jesus fucking Christ. And it's a portrait room, and it says from 68 to 87, Warhol received hundreds of portrait commissions from business moguls, art collectors, socialites, fashion designers, models, royals, and celebrities of all kinds.
Wow, he's so lucky.
His own public recognition gave Warhol access to those who sought the cachet of having their portraits painted by him, and with these works, he brought renewed attention to the tradition of portraiture in the avant-garde world.
Wow.
Seems like the same old world to me, but all right.
Yeah, but it's avant-garde when you say it is.
I It's avant-garde if it's fast and you do it a lot.
Oh, Christ.
Because it's the second paragraph. For these paintings, he uses a streamlined production method, taking photographs himself with a Polaroid camera and then using the resulting images for the silkscreen.
No way.
Warhol usually made extra panels of each portrait and kept them for himself. Collected humans.
That's a good idea because,
it is a good idea.
Yeah, you know, all that stuff is only going to accrue value. So, like, if you're having a show, you should probably save, you know, save at least one work from every show.
He knew what he was doing, you guys. This dude is a fucking sociopath.
He's a businessman. I respect that, you know. I respect the hustle.
Respect. You have to respect the hustle. Should we even go in here? I don't even...
Sure. Okay. Let's look at the faces.
Here they are.
We're entering into the gallery. For those
couches
of you
who
know the Whitney, this is where they have lots of cool project shows, like Flatlands. Okay, we're looking at faces.
This seems to be, like, the most carefully constructed part of the entire exhibit.
Yeah, definitely.
And it's to honor the rich and famous.
I mean, God, they're better than us, you know? There's so much facial recognition here, so many concepts that I've been forced to understand as more important than my own life.
Oh, it's so loud in here, too. Sorry, Ruin.
Well, I think we can wrap up here by saying we're looking at a lot of culture, and it turns out culture is dominated by the rich.
You can't... This is a room is to remind us that you can't have art without art dealers.
It's true.
Can't have art without the elite. You can't. This made it all possible. That's why they're lauded and celebrated.
Yeah. We don't recognize people unless we've seen them thousands of times. That's also something I get out of this room.
Everybody gets a metal plinth with their fucking name on it.
Oh, yeah. It's like the Museum of Natural History.
And they're just immortalized forever as the beautiful, bright elites.
Mm-hmm. That elite is a baby.
That's classic Renaissance shit. It's like, put me in it.
Yeah.
I want you to paint Jesus, but also put me in it.
Yeah.
And then put my baby in it.
It's true. Healthy and beautiful, stronger, better bones.
Yeah.
Well, yep.
All right.
That's it.
Let's have fun, everyone.
Let's have fun.
You paint a picture of Leonci.
Yeah.
Like to take a cement fix, be a standing cinema. Dress my friends up just for show. See them as they really are. Put the people in my brain, two new pens to have a go. I'd like to be a gallery, put you all inside my show. Andy Warhol looks a scream, hang him on my wall. Andy Warhol, silver screen, can't tell them apart at all. Andy walking, Andy tired, Andy take a little snooze. Tie him up when he passed asleep, send him on a pleasant cruise. When you wake up on the sea, be sure to think of me and you. To think about paint and to think about glue, what a jolly boring thing to do. Andy Warhol, let's just scream, hang him on my wall.
screen, can't tell them apart.